I don't know how you felt after hearing this gospel, because it's a rather perplexing one in many ways. First of all, this woman comes up to Jesus asking for help, and he ignores her. And then, to add more salt to that wound, later on he calls her a dog. Now let's be very honest, is this how we normally picture Jesus? As this guy that's throwing around insults and also ignoring people, especially when they ask for help? Normally it's not. And so in that way, this gospel is rather challenging to us. And in its challenges, I want to take some time and walk through it very slowly so we see the dynamicism of it and the story unfold and the greater meanings that are in its depths. Because we can't dismiss what's really happening and what Jesus is doing in the midst of all these really strange events. So to start out with, the main protagonist besides Jesus is this Canaanite woman. And to really make this make sense, we have to know what we mean by a Canaanite woman. The Canaanites were a group of Israelites who lived in the north of Israel. And after Assyria conquered them in 636 BC, they influxed them with a whole bunch of nations to the point where there were five other nations that were all living within the land of what's called Ephraim or Israel or northern Israel. And as they were all living, they intermingled, which is forbidden by Jewish law. You do not intermingle with the other nations. But by them intermingling, according to the Jews that were in the south, they were considered defiled. So defiled that they used the euphemism dogs as a way to refer to them, like mutts, kind of the scum of the earth, the people who are defiled and dirty, not worth our time and attention. These are the Canaanites. So they were always in this relation of animosity between the Jews of the south and the Canaanites themselves, to the point where the Jews would not talk to them, would not walk on the same side of the street, would not use things that were common with them, like forks and knives and plates and stuff like that. You just didn't touch them. So here we have the Canaanite woman. But where are we? We're in Tyre and Sidon. We're not in Israel. Everyone watching this would be kind of perplexed as well. Why is he treating her that way? We know he's a Jew, but we don't really grasp the concept of Canaanites and Jewish relationships. We're in a totally different country. But yet that doesn't seem to be an issue for people, except for his disciples, who, as she's calling out and saying, "Have mercy on me," he ignores her. Which is what we expect any good Jew to do. If you think about it, he's doing what we expect. We expect him to ignore her, to leave her alone, and to move on, if we were coming from a Jewish perspective. And he does, kind of, until his disciples tell him, send her away, she's annoying. Which then becomes an important moment for us. Who for us is the Canaanite woman? Who for us is that person that we don't want to talk to, that we consider the scum of the earth, that they're dogs, they're not worth our time and attention? Either ideologically they're different, or they live their lives differently than us, or they have different ways of thinking or relating to the world, or we just don't like them. Who is that in our life to which we want to treat them like Jesus did and say, "You're worthless to me, get out of my sight, I don't want to see you anymore"? With that in mind, we can go a little further. Because if we think of the people in our lives that we don't want to pay attention to, the rest of the gospel will actually make no sense. Because we want Jesus to do that, in a sense. But he doesn't. After his disciples convince him to send her away, she comes up to him. And he says this line, "I was sent only to the lost tribes of Israel." Well, what does that mean? Because really, it's a very cryptic line. Is she not historically Israeli? Was he not sent to her as well? But from the perspective of the story, it seems like he's saying, "You're not one of the ones I'm looking for. I don't need to work with you." But it's almost like he's speaking doublespeak. In one sense, the people that are Jews listening will say, "Ah, yes, they aren't Israeli. Cast her away. We're done with her." But he's also saying, "Aren't you one of us? Therefore, what do you need from me?" So it's interesting that in that one little line, we have two things happening simultaneously. Now, from our perspective, however, we like to think of the Jews as this special nation that are isolated and God only likes them and they're on their own. They're special, set apart, different. But that's not what the Jews actually proclaim. The Old Testament is full of references to God who loves all the nations. He wants everyone to come to him. And our reading from Isaiah makes that point very clear, that he wants all people to come and worship him. He desired that all nations will recognize his glory, but Israel was the instrument through which he showed his glory that enticed the rest of the nations to come to him. So these lost tribes of Israel could easily be the entire world. Realistically, it's the fact that they've been so splintered and fractured that he's trying to bring back the glory of Israel so that all the nations will stream to God's blessings once again. But this is the core. Jesus was sent to Israel, to the lost tribes of Israel, to the people that were lost. But that's not exclusive. It's actually inclusive. And so he's making a statement about who he is. I am the Messiah who is called to bring the nations together again. And then he says, it is not right to give the food of children to dogs. That's kind of a harsh rebuke. Not only is he calling her a dog, namely the scum of the earth, but he's bringing up all those old idioms, those kind of words we use to describe people. And unfortunately, we do have some. They go back 60 years, but it'd be analogous to calling her, if we're in the South, a nigger, to give you a sense of what that language was like. And so he's basically saying, I can't give the food of the children of Israel to the scum of the earth. It will be defiled. Now, any of us who own dogs know we like to feed scraps to our dogs. So it's kind of a weird mix for us. But nevertheless, that's what's happening. So what is he saying? What is the food of the children? The food of the children is the blessings from God. It's all those graces God has given. In that way, though, she responds in a way that's so striking, we should pause and reflect on it. She says, but even the dogs eat the scraps that fall from the master's table. Even if you don't consider us Israeli, even if you don't consider us the children of Israel, even if you think of us as the scum of the earth, God is still going to bless us, even in small little ways. And that changed everything. That changed Jesus's perspective, or highlighted what he wanted everyone else to see. We can see it in both ways, to the point where he was amazed by her faith and healed her daughter. Think about that for a moment. This woman, who we thought of at the very beginning as a scum of the earth, the person not worth talking to, became an instrument of God's mercy, became an avenue to teach the nations of God's truth. And that's where I want to focus for a moment. Because in this, we see that the people of the world that we may not want to talk to, the people we think don't have any intelligence to them, can be avenues for us to understand things in greater depth. Because again, as our reading from Isaiah said, we are looking for the truth. Because where there is truth, there is God. And where there is God, there is all good things. And we want the good things. So we should be challenging ourselves to listen to people and to really listen to the different perspectives that we can find the things that are truly good and so use them to understand God's ways. Here are a few examples of what I mean. In the realm of Christianity and other religions, they have good things that we can learn from them. Mormons have an exceptional family life. They really do emphasize the importance of family. Imagine what we'd be like if we took off one night a week just for family time. Or I was able to spend an hour a Sunday with all of you studying scripture. Man, would we progress fast. And Protestants are really good about community. They're really good with the Bible, something we've kind of lost in the last couple centuries. There are good things out there, and we can take them and use them because good things are of God. And that's why this reading is important to us. We must look for the good things. Even St. Paul, in our reading from the Romans today, he went to the Gentiles. Most of the Jews thought the Gentiles were heinous people that weren't worth our attention. But he said, I'm going to the Gentiles to make the Jews jealous so that they will actually convert. Because he knew the Gentiles would understand the message. This is our challenge. Our challenge is to find God in every place, and especially the places we wouldn't expect. Because he's there. He's challenging us. He's encouraging us to find him and to recognize the good that's going on, that we may not be off-put or locked in our own way of thinking of the world, but open to all the possibilities that God brings, especially the one time that one person we thought was terrible and horrible challenged us in ways that were good. So let us take up this challenge. Let us recognize that God is alive and active around us. Find the good things and cultivate them in our spiritual life, because all good things come from God, and all good things that are true will help us to come to know Him.